Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified on a nice, blistery morning in Portland, Oregon. And, you know, I have to admit, I do like the weather here with the rain instead of the ice cold and the ice and slipping around. So I do prefer our beautiful Oregon Northwest rain. And I want to introduce my co-host this morning with me, Carl Jepson with the Warren Allen Law Firm.
Good morning.
Morning, Carl. And did you enjoy your week and relaxing?
Well, you know, it was 5 degrees where I was, and there was ice, and so it was delightful.
But was there a warm fire going?
There was.
And some adult beverages?
There were.
Okay, good. Good. That's good. And Kevin Steggy with the Baker Colson CPA firm.
Good morning, gentlemen. And Chuck, I'll leave that your opinion to yourself about the Oregon rain. I'll take the cold over the rain.
Well, you know, that's what Central Oregon's for.
That's
true. It's very cold up there. In fact, we did our client appreciation thing up there this past week on Thursday, as a matter of fact, and I'm telling you, when we got out of that meeting, it was I think it was about 17 degrees when we headed back home. And fortunately, we drove over the mountains, and the mountains were clear as could be. So we didn't run into any bad weather, and we actually made really good time driving over there and back. So, but it was cold, and everybody over there said it had been really, really cold. So listen, you're listening to Investing Simplified. This is your opportunity. If you've got a question about estate planning or about any kind of estate planning, we've got an estate planning attorney here. If you got a question about taxes, we've got a CPA here. If you got a question about investing, I'm your guy to talk to about that. And we hope that you'll be interactive on this. You pick up the phone, you give us a call, and you ask a question, because that's what's the funnest part of this thing is getting up early in the morning on Saturday morning is to communicate with you out there, the listener, and answer your questions and get into a dialogue with you. 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. And I'm going to give a quick report here on the stock market. And most people, if you're watching the market, you know that this past week we had 5 weeks pretty well running up. And last week we had kind of a step back week. And I think the markets were down about 1.5% to 1.63%. But here's a quick look at the Dow Jones. The Dow Jones closed at 15,755.36. It was up 15.93, and it was up 0.1%. Now, where does the Dow stand versus the previous all-time high back on 10/9/07 of 14,164.53? Well, we're up 11.23% in six years and 2 months. And that means about a 1.82% per year average. The Dow Jones closed at 12,31.99. In 12,31.99, it closed at 11,497. So if we go back to the start of the decade, and actually back to 12,31.99, the Dow Jones in 12 years and 11 months is up 37.04%. That's not per year, kids. That's for the whole 12 years. The whole 12 years and 11 months. That's an average of 2.87% per year. If we looked at any other decade in the history of American investing, except for the Great Depression, everybody would be saying this economy sucks. But unfortunately, our news and our people on CNBC and our people on all the business networks and the local networks, they keep telling you that things are better than you know they are. And the reality is the markets have not performed. They just have not performed. If you look at the S&P 500, by the way, the previous 80 years prior to the turn of the century, the S&P 500 did over a 10% average return. 10%. Now, the reason I mention that is if we go back and look at the S&P, in the last 6 years and 2 months, the S&P is up an average of 2.49% per year. And if we go back to 12/31/99, it is up 1.77% per year. So I got to tell you, these are not what you'd call the best of times economically. And we keep hearing all this stuff, it's the unemployment. In fact, Kevin, I meant to print that thing out that you sent me.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, but Kevin, I don't know, did you bring that?
I didn't bring it, but it was an article, I think it was through the OregonLive.com, the Oregonian website, and it indicated that for the last 40 years, we have actually added more jobs. Our total employment in the state of Oregon has gone up and up and up, and it should, as population grows and more of the workforce gets into working, it should go up. And just, was it the last year, I believe, was the first time in 40 years we have actually, regardless of the unemployment rate, total employment went down for the first time in over 40 years. And you have to think that's at least partially due to the baby boom generation retiring.
Well, yeah, but also the fact that we're not growing any jobs in the country. I mean, the reality is, when I went and looked at that, I saw several other things online, and one of the things that really just kind of popped out at me, there have been numerous articles about, in 2013, the number of jobs created that the government keeps spouting that, of course, we already know that some people in the government consistently lie. You can go on YouTube and see them lie every day. Anyway, the fact is, they've been saying about the jobs and the number of jobs. The fact is, the majority of jobs being created in the United States right now are part-time. They're part-time jobs. And I got to tell you, we have got to, in this country, we've got to start getting a dose of reality. And we got to start demanding of our politicians, hey, we need full-time jobs. We need you to make some agreements. It's kind of interesting that New York State, one of the most liberal states in the country, are now running ads on the news. And I don't know if you've seen these ads. They're running ads now. Come to New York and start your business. We will give you 10 years with no taxation. 10 years with no taxation. Wow. What happened to the old idea that, hey, we got to tax more of the business guy and give it to and redistribute their wealth? I think even New York is starting to realize people have been leaving that state, and that state is in deep, deep trouble. They need to get businesses in there, and they need jobs, and they need to give incentives for companies to come to New York instead of leaving New York, because a lot of firms have went to Florida and left New York. And even New York's realizing, hey, wait a minute, if we don't give an incentive to businesses to hire people and make the tax structure favorable so they can grow and hire people, they're not going to come to our state. So I think it's very interesting that New York State, one of the most liberal in the country, has finally seen the light and is starting to say, hey, we need to promote business. We need to not just go after them and tax them and tax them and tax them and put all kinds of government regulations on them to slow them down. We need to open up the floodgates, let them go to work, let them produce whatever they're producing. But, hey, how about hiring some people and getting some good jobs? And I can tell you, Carl, you asked our guest speakers a couple times. We've had Harry Dent and Rodney Johnson on, and we will again in 2014, like we have this year, have them on once a month. But one of the questions you said is if you were a king for a day or if you were czar for a day, and I was really thinking about that the other day, and I thought, man, if I had the power, what would I do to turn this country around? And I really thought about it, and I thought, there's about five things you could basically do to really turn this country around and make it fair for everybody. And I get so tired when I hear these politicians talking about making it fair. Well, they make it fair because we pay more in taxes and they get paid more. I guess that's how it's fair. It's fair that they get more, we get less. But, you know, I think if somebody could be a king for a day and wave that magic wand and say, okay, if we're going to go back to what the United States was founded under. And I find it hard to believe how some people have really went after our forefathers and the guys who founded this country and call them all kinds of names, and they were a bunch of rich guys who didn't really care. The only difference is those rich guys weren't getting paid. Not like these fat cats politicians we have today. These guys didn't get paid. They did that because they loved the country. So I think if I were king for a day, the things I would do is, number one, I would make all lobbying a federal crime. And if you paid a politician for his vote, you go to jail and the politician goes to jail. That would stop lobbying immediately. Now we have a clear playing field. The other thing I would do is make the presidential election be a non-political position. It would be somebody who wanted to run the country for the betterment of the country. It'd be a one-year term, 6 years, and he could not be affiliated with a party a la Democrat or Republican or dipstick or whatever you want to call him. He couldn't be part of a political party. He had to be there because he wanted to help the country. Not for his own gain, but for the betterment of the country. You know, the old adage, public servant, it drives me a little crazy when I hear these politicians stand up and say they're a public servant. Hey, for $165,000, all their expenses paid, they get to travel all around the world at our dime, and they call themselves a public servant. I'll tell you what a public servant is. Public servant is the guy who's running the homeless shelter downtown in Portland, Oregon, who's running it for maybe making a minimum wage if he's really lucky, but he's doing it because he wants to help people. That guy is a public servant. He's the guy that deserves the money. He's the guy that deserves it, not the fat cat congressman that flies around on your dime and my dime and gets more money in political contributions than the average person listening to this show makes in their lifetime. And that's the truth of it. And, you know, we need to change this country, but I would do away with lobbying. I'd make the president of the United States be a non-political position. Then when the president stood up and said, I don't like what the Democrats and Republicans are doing, he could actually say it with an honest, straight face, instead of like when Barack Obama has Harry Reid carrying his load in the Senate and stopping everything from getting done, and stands up and says, well, the Democrats and Republicans aren't cooperating. We need to get them cooperating. Well, except for the fact that he is the Democratic leader. And so we need to do away with that position. If we did those two things, there's one third thing that's got to be done, and this should be done immediately. And I would evoke anybody in this state, anybody in the state of Washington, you need to pick up your phone and call your senator or your congressman. Here's the other thing that could be done. We'd clean this country up in a heartbeat. Make every position in the United States a government position that is a government position, cannot be paid more than the president of the United States. You tell me a job that's more important than the president of the United States. I guarantee you the battleground school district person who got $400,000 to leave the job and was making $400,000 a year is not more important than the president of the United States. Look at the education numbers and you tell me any school district has an executive that should be paid more than the president of the United States. So you want to clean up the government? You want to clean up this country? You just say, okay, the president is a one-term, six-year president at $500,000 a year. That sets the bar. No other politician in the United States, no other government employee can make more than the president of the United States because he is the boss. You start doing that in this country, and I'll tell you what, you'll be hearing a lot of crying and a lot of, oh, that's not fair. Well, I'll tell you what, it is fair, because if you're a public servant, if you really want to serve the public, you have to pay a price. And the price comes in not getting $2 or $3 million a year to get paid to do your job. And I'll tell you what we could do by doing that and cutting all these jobs down. You got some of these school district administrators that are making, you know, $1.2 million, $1.3 million. Hey, you got one paying $1.3 million. Go in and cut that guy down to $400,000 or that lady down to $400,000 and hire two other people at $400,000. To do the same job she was doing or he was doing, and now you got three people making $400,000 instead of one greedy guy making $1.2 million. Hey, I want to hear what the liberals have to say about that. I'm a conservative guy, and I say, hey, I would feel much better on my money being spent on somebody working for the government or working for a political position, getting paid and having a limit on their pay. I think that's a great idea. And I'll tell you what, if we did that, we could go through the budgets. And I've never met anybody, and I would challenge anybody out there that works for any governmental agency, and I've talked to a lot of them, every one of them tells me the same thing. There is more graft in government than you can even believe. I've talked to guys with the VA administration, and yeah, they don't pay the employees a lot, but there is so much misuse of money in the Veterans Administration, it is sickening. If somebody, if a good CPA, Kevin, went through there and did an audit on the books or did them on any department of the United States, I guarantee you we could feed a lot of the 10 million supposedly homeless people we have in this country. We could put them in a very nice house and feed them. And that's the reality of it. That's, you know, I feel really good. I feel really good about this. And if you got a question about this, I'd be glad to talk to you about it because I think, I just got this morning, I drank my cup of coffee, I got my caffeine going. I'm excited about the possibilities of this great country. We live in the greatest place on earth. We just need to get back to making it the greatest place on earth. And we need to get rid of the guys that are making a living off our country's misery. And that's the other thing. There are a lot of people in this country that make a fortune off your misery. Now, you think about that. They make money off your misery. That's, I don't know. I'd have a tough time sleeping at night if I did that. I kind of like the idea that I kind of help people make money and grow their money and grow their net worth, and I feel really good about that. And if we have a bad year, I don't feel very good about it. It makes me sick because I don't want to be in that position. I want to make people prosperous and wealthy and healthy, and I want to keep them going in that direction. And I think that's really what we need to do is get back to America. What made America strong is our volunteerism of people giving of themselves to help the country and not looking for anything to pad their wallet. But boy, I'll tell you, that's not the way it is today. It's just not the way it is. So, in fact, the Columbian ran a big newspaper article here Saturdays ago, listing the salaries of some of these nonprofit organizations. My God, what is wrong with us as a country? Shouldn't people be saying, hey, wait a minute. I thought nonprofit was supposed to be that, you know, you're not getting rich running this thing and you're helping people. Well, the only guy that's helping it is the CEO and the board of directors. They're getting rich. Everybody else getting the short end of the stick. Well, listen, you're listening to Investing Simplified. If you got a comment, I got very broad shoulders. I could take those comments. Give me a call, 503-417-7626. 503-417-7626. We're going to come back with the a more of a calming presentation here. Carl's comments going to level things out for you and give you a little ease of peace of mind and talk about estate planning. Carl, what do you got in store today?
Well, I am going to talk about a bunch of definitions because what I find in my practice is that a lot of times lawyers, you find this hard to believe, use words that people don't understand.
I can't even believe that.
As shocking as that may sound, I thought I'd like to at least dispel some of those misunderstandings, perhaps, because of the language that's used, with some of the words that we commonly use in estate planning.
Well, I highly recommend that you get out your dictionary because we're going to have fun, kids. We're going to go back to school, and this is going to be a free lesson. So hang on, come back at the break, and you're listening to Investing Simplified. Financial Group Wealth Management.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com. Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and partner of the Warren Allen Law Firm, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Here's Carl Jepson.
All right, send lawyers, guns, and money.
Well, good morning. This is Carl Jepson with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I'm having a very tough act to follow today. I'm almost at a loss for words, but be that as it may, Carl's comments is usually based on something that I've thought about during the week that I think might be interesting to our listeners. And this week, one of the things I've noticed that comes up very often is especially after a client looks at an estate planning document, they ask me a number of questions, and a lot of times those questions are, what does that word mean? What exactly is that anyway? And so I thought what I'd do is just go through some of the definitions that we often use, or at least some sort of a definition that gives you at least a practical idea of what some of these words mean. And I think it would be helpful even before you come to see your estate planning lawyer, because that way you have something to discuss with him, or maybe you understand the concepts a little better. But one of the first things we have is what's called a testator, and old time they used to call a female testator a testatrix.
That almost sounds like a bad illness.
It does, doesn't it? But a testator just merely means the person who drafts a will. That's whoever wills it is. That's who that is. And also in wills, there's a person called a personal representative, and sometimes that person is called an executor. That is the person that you name in your will to take care of the administration of your estate when you die. And this is a person that you identify, and usually you give an alternate or several alternates just in case they can't serve. So personal representative and executor are exactly the same thing. They just differ. In Oregon, you would call them a personal representative because that's the statutory definition. And then also there was the executrix. They used to call them that. That would be a female executor. But they don't do that anymore, which I think that's probably
good.
You
could take a lot off of that, couldn't you?
I don't know why they did that. But
this is a family program. Remember?
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. Yeah. No. So anyway, then we're going to skip down to trusts. And trusts, this is an interesting one because there are actually three definitions or three words that are used for exactly the same thing. Trustor. That's the person that creates the trust. Settlor, that's also the person that creates the trust. And grantor, that's also the person that creates the trust, depending on kind of who's writing it. I prefer trustor because it just seems to make a little more sense to me, and it automatically associates with trust. The Uniform Trust Code uses the term settlor, and a lot of times in tax code you see grantor. So either way, it's the same thing, and so it's the person who creates the trust or establishes the trust. Trustee, that's the person who manages the trust. Trustee is a person who administers the instructions that are given in the trust as far as distributing property and managing it. And there are, as far as I know, there is no settlee or grantee. Well, there can be a grantee, I guess. But nonetheless, trustee, that's a fairly common person. Then you have a beneficiary. That's the person who gets the money out of the trust. Beneficiaries sometimes are misconstrued with heirs and devisees. An heir is a person who will receive property from a person who dies if there is no will. That's the heir. That means that it's some kind of close relative. A devisee is someone who's named in a will to get property. That person may be an heir, but it may not be. And so devisee and heir can mean the same person, but they mean a different thing. An heir is a person who would take when there's no will, and a devisee is someone who takes because there's a will. So, and a beneficiary is often called that also. So those terms tend to get mixed up together as they work. Now let's talk a little bit about powers of attorney. And the person who receives your power, if you are giving a power of attorney, which gives legal authority to someone else to do what you want them to do, and they have to do it in your best interest. So a power of attorney, the person that you elect to do that is called an attorney in fact. That's why they call it power of attorney. And that gets very confusing people. They say, well, I'm not an attorney. I can't do that, you know. So attorney in fact is just the name given to the person who is given the authority to manage affairs for someone else. That same person is also called an agent. So, and that comes from what is called the law of agency. And the law of agency really deals with everything from employment relationships to, you know, to powers of attorney. And it's the notion of what is the law that governs the delegation of legal authority to someone else. And so that's what where it comes from. So they call him the agent or the attorney in fact.
You know, Carl, one of the things I belong to several what do you want to call them, boards, or where you have where you give your proxy that, yep, if you're not able to be there to vote,
mm-hmm,
and that's a form of
power of attorney. Yeah.
But it's called a proxy.
Okay. Yeah, and a proxy has to do with, you might call it a special power of attorney, because a proxy really means essentially that you've given the power to that person to vote in accordance with whatever their ownership interest is.
But it's on a very limited basis.
It tends to be on a limited basis.
Yeah.
They couldn't go out and buy a new car for the persons whose proxy they have.
Okay.
They would only be used to vote whatever those stocks were or whatever that membership interest was. So, yeah, the proxy, okay, is they stand in for them as a voter.
And almost everybody who owns individual stocks or people who belong to an HOA have those come up almost every single year, because you're voting on things on the company.
Mm-hmm.
You're voting things on your HOA, your homeowners association. And so you either have to be there or you have to sign over your proxy to the board. Same thing with the stock.
Absolutely. Well, all of these kinds of positions, I guess we're talking about, or tasks, are very important. And there are some others that I'll just quickly go through. There's a guardian and a conservator. A guardian is a person that's appointed by the court to manage the person's health and safety decisions. In other words, if a person lacks the judgment to be safe for themselves, then you appoint a guardian for them to do that for them. A conservator is a person appointed by the court to manage a person's financial affairs and property affairs if they lack the capacity to manage their own affairs. If you have a power of attorney and it's well drafted, generally that'll avoid the conservator and generally the guardianship as well. But if you have someone who's, you know, running off at night to the, you know, getting on the MAX train and going wherever it goes, and they don't know where they're going, then that's a guardian, and the power of attorney won't help you there. but you need a guardian, and those are the kind of people that you have, and all of those kind of people are what we call fiduciaries, and fiduciary is merely the describing a type of relationship, and what it means is that you have a position of trust with this person, and you are required by law to act in their best interest. That means you don't take their money. You don't, you know, take advantage of them. You don't transfer property to yourself from them. You know, you're not self-dealing on them. You're looking after their best interest and theirs alone. And unfortunately, that's why the power of attorney is often abused. And if you give your power of attorney to someone, give them the power of trusteeship over your trust, you are possibly, you know, giving away some really serious stuff. It's very important to have a very trustworthy person. And in today's world, it's a little hard to know, because many of the people who abuse those authority positions are family members. And we see it all the time. Maybe I think in the vast majority of trusts and things like that, the trustee and the power of attorney person, the attorney in fact, the agent, do a fine job, and they look after the person they're supposed to. But in those cases that I tend to see, because I'm in the field, they often are abusing those authorities and using them to their own advantage. In fact, it's very common to see people do various types of manipulation to get their elderly person to give them those kinds of powers. And so it, and then it makes it very difficult for the people who are doing a good job, because financial institutions and lawyers and banks and people have become more suspicious of powers of attorney because they're often abused. And so, and that makes it hard for the person who really has a legitimate power of attorney, and they're doing it for the best interest of the person, and they're having trouble with getting something done because people are suspicious about it. So it's a difficult thing. So choose your fiduciary wisely.
Well, you know, one of the saddest things that I see all the time, and you know, you and I have talked about this numerous times, Carl, but is that a lot of times parents who have kids, you know, those are your kids, and those are the people you need to trust to do the right thing with your assets, and so oftentimes money gets in the way of these things, and it's really sad when you see a family, a parent who needs to have the kids help them with their financial things and stuff, but they end up helping themselves to the financial part of it, and not for the betterment of the senior parent. And it's a hard thing, because it's a hard thing also to stop, and it's a hard thing to prove and to go after them. And besides that, who's going to do the right thing for that parent? So the problem is, a lot of times you get to a point in your life where you're a certain age, you have to rely on those kids. You have to rely on your heirs, because there isn't the other backup there to protect you.
Well, that's very true. And a lot of times, now there are professional fiduciaries as well. But, you know, they charge a fee. And but in some respects, it would be much better to pay the fee to a professional fiduciary who has insurance to cover. You know, they are bonded and insured, and granted, you have to pay the fee to have them manage your stuff. But if you have the concern that you have say, for example, if your heirs or your children are financially irresponsible, and you know they are for whatever reason, to give them your power of attorney or make them your trustee is kind of like, you know, putting the fox in the hen house. It's just not a good idea. And the lack of, you know, having to pay that extra expense of a professional fiduciary probably saves you a lot of money in the long run, because they can't steal it from you. And they're doing it for a fee rather than just, like you said, helping themselves to the cookie jar.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Kevin Stege, the tax investigator. You're listening to Investing Simplified on a live show on a Saturday morning here in Portland. If you've got a question you want to ask, give us a call, 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. We'll be right back with the tax investigator.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask the tax investigator, Kevin Stege, CPA and partner of the Baker Colson CPA firm. You can call Kevin at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's the CPA with the tax answers, CPA Kevin Stege.
You're listening to Investing Simplified on a foggy Portland, Oregon morning, just barely out of the freezing zone and nice and damp, just like we like it. Of course, that makes our wood stoves and our heaters feel good.
Especially if you're a duck.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, beavers do pretty good in this
beavers
weather,
like
too.
Beavers like it. Yeah, yeah. Huskies slog through the snow, and cougars, I don't know, they just survive.
That's true. That's true. Well, today on the Tax Investigator, we've talked before on some previous shows, and I thought I'd go into a little detail about one point of a framework that we have been giving our listeners and that I give my clients. And the framework is three ways to reduce, manage, or save on your tax bill. There's three general ways you can save on taxes. The first way, and I'll just summarize the three, and we're going to talk about the third one a little bit more in detail. The first way is non-recognition of income. Second way is changing the character of the income. And the third way is deferring or the timing of the income.
So you did say legal ways, right?
These are legal, but are illegal ways to...
In brief,
I'll describe them.
Are we going to Belize?
Not yet. The first, non-recognition of income. Well, what is that? That would be like investing in tax-exempt muni bonds, treasury interest, a Roth IRA distribution. Don't have to recognize income when you make a distribution from that. Sale of a principal residence. You can exclude.
Well, but you do have to show it on your tax return. The tax-free bonds you have to show on your tax return for the AMT and the...
That's true. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sale of a principal residence, excluding up to $500,000 of gain. And another way would be Section 125 plan, cafeteria plan, where you get your medical expenses reimbursed. That's an expense you're going to have. You don't have to recognize income to that extent that they reimburse you for that. So that would be non-recognition of income. But if you have to recognize income on your tax return, the second way to save on taxes is to change the character of that income if you can. One way to do that would be to hold your investments over a year and get capital gain treatment. Now you're getting a lower tax treatment on your income. Another way would be qualified dividends, investing in the right companies that are going to pay you qualified dividends so you get the capital gain treatment. So changing the character of how the income is taxed. So we'll just briefly look at those two. But the third, and I think it gets a lot of talk, and I think there's some misunderstanding on exactly how this helps on your taxes, but deferral of income, or I think a better way is timing of income, because as we talked last week, Chuck, deferral may not be the best option right now for tax savings. And basically, the whole benefit of deferring income is theoretically having to recognize that income in a later year when you're in a lower tax bracket, and then to also allow for compounding of your investment, so you're not paying taxes up front. This lets you compound over a longer period of time. So those are the two benefits, but what if you're not in a lower tax bracket in the future?
Then you end up paying a higher rate.
Exactly. Yeah. So there, you've actually lost the benefit. And an example of this type of tax planning would be your 401k deferral. Everybody knows that term from work. Or an IRA contribution where you're putting money into an IRA and you get a current deduction on that. But one of the other benefits to deferring or playing with the timing of income is it allows you to control the timing of when you recognize income. So, for example, maybe you're planning a move to retire into another state, potentially across the river. That would probably be a good time if you're recognizing Oregon wages and that type of thing. Put as much as you can into your 401k. And you can, and you know you're going to be moving into a low income or no income tax state, and you can take that out at a later time and save some taxes there. I think my main point on this topic is what you were saying, Chuck, is capital gain rates are about as low as they're ever going to be. I think we all know taxes are going to be going up. And this may be the time, while we still have the 0% capital gain rate, the 15% capital gain rate, to recognize some gains and defer some losses. Don't sell some of those securities. Save some of those losses maybe for a future year where you're going to be in a higher tax bracket. If you're a new employee, say you're in your mid-20s and you're just getting going, why would you fully fund your 401k and defer that income when you're potentially in the lowest bracket you're going to be for 30, 40 years? Why not take that same money and put it into a Roth IRA?
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because, you know, I was at the Harry Dent seminar here a few weeks ago, and one of the things they had a panel of five different economists on. Of course, Harry Dent was one of them and Rodney Johnson. And one of the questions from the crowd was about the fact that today we were discussing, and just what I discussed with you last week about taking the capital gains now. If you got some gains, this is the great year to take them. But one of the scary things they said, and this kind of goes along with what you're saying, but they almost every one of those guys said one or two things is going to happen in 2014. The government is either going to take QE3 and step up to QE4 and start doing up to $125 billion a month of printing money to get us out of this situation because of the unemployment and the numbers of the employment numbers are way out of whack. You know, people are making, it's just like you said last week, people are making less money today than they were 5 years ago. And that's, it seems criminal, but it's the reality of it.
Than they were 12 years ago.
Yeah, they're making less money. And so, but things aren't costing less, you know. And so you look at this situation we're going into, and they said, looking at one of the guys said, well, where can they come after us on taxes? And I thought it was very interesting. One of the economists said, and he was also a CPA, and he said that, he said, well, if you look at the tax structure, the United States government has a history of changing tax laws, and not always to the betterment of the taxpayer. And he said, I can tell you right now, if you have $250,000 of income, you are the target. You are the target. That's where the kick in on the capital gains comes in, the 3.8%, if you get above the 250. And he said, I would not be a bit surprised that in 2014, you see the government say to everybody who has $250,000 of income, and possibly because of Obamacare now, they're getting net worth figures on the assets that people have. He said, I would not be a bit surprised to see the government come out with a new tax situation and say that if you have a certain amount of net worth and you have a certain amount of income, your Roth IRA is now taxable. And they're going to wipe out the Roth, because there are trillions of dollars of tax dollars in Roth contributions sitting there that the government's got no way to get their hands on it. And I know I've heard guys on the radio and on TV say, oh, they're going to come after your 401k and they're going to come after your IRA. And all of these guys said the same thing. If the government came after your bank accounts or your Roth or your 401k, it'll never work in America. We'd have a revolution. They're never going to, like they did in Greece, to take your bank account. You wake up one morning, your bank account's gone. It's not going to happen in America. What they're going to do is they're going to do it the sneaky way. The sneaky way they've always done it, just like they did to Social Security, like they're doing to the Unaffordable Health Care Act. They're doing it the sneaky way. They call it a tax. And what they're going to say is that if you're a filthy rich American and you have over $250,000 of income, or you have a net worth of, say, a half a million or a million, and you have this Roth IRA, and you've cheated everybody in America out of the taxations that you ought to be paying on that money because you're filthy rich, then we're going to take that taxes, and we're going to redistribute that wealth to the people who need it because you got too much. The only problem is I never hear them saying that about the politicians. I never hear them say about redistributing their wealth. I don't know, kind of a double standard there. But that's what all these economists said. They said, listen, all the Americans, these people worrying about them coming after your bank accounts, them coming after your 401k or your IRA, it's not going to happen. What they're going to do is they're going to come back in and they're going to say, hey, We got all these filthy rich people that got these Roth IRAs. You know, you're out there working hard for a living. You don't have a Roth IRA. You don't have $250,000 of income. So we're going to tax these guys. And they're going to tax the Roth IRAs. And everybody, one of the problems I've had with Roth IRAs all along is I felt that at some point in time, the government could pull the plug. And it would not surprise me if this economy continues down, which it has been going down, in spite of everything you're hearing on the news. Get some brains, check it out for yourself. Well, they're going to have to do something to raise revenue.
Well, precisely what you have described. I thought we could go a whole show without mentioning the unaffordable CARE Act, as you like to say. But that's precisely the method that they have used to fund health insurance for everybody else. They instituted taxes several years ago to start paying for all of this, and it'll just continue on in that manner, and that's the way that it's done. So one last comment on this is definitely if you are looking to recognize some income, look at other things that get affected by that, such as when you pull out more, when you recognize more income, your Social Security will probably get taxed more. If you recognize a fairly large nest egg, you're also going to be looking at potentially raising your Medicare B and D premiums, and so those are things to consider. And also it probably, if you're looking at getting, if you're not on Medicare, it could affect your subsidies with the insurance exchange, if you're getting your insurance through the exchange.
Yeah, I would be curious to our listeners out there, how many of them on their Medicare bill for 2013, coming up to 2014, how many of them got a reduction? Almost everybody I've talked to has gotten a pretty good increase on their Medicare costs. Particularly for the seniors who are on Medicare who have no choice, that premium is going up. And it's not going down, contrary to what we were told. Of course, we were told you could keep your insurance if you wanted to also. But the cost is going up, and it's not going down. And so people need to really look at that and adjust accordingly. Well, we're going to come back with the knowledge trust. You're listening to Investing Simplified. If you got a question, give us a call, 503-417-7626. 503-417-7626, and what you don't know can hurt you, so give us a call.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. Well, if you got $1 million, well, give us a call right now, because we'll give you some advice on what you can do with that $1 million, and it'll all be positive. And so if you want to give us a call and you got a question about where to invest your $1 million, or what do you need to do legally to protect that $1 million, or how do you protect it from taxation, we've got the answers. If you got the question, we got the answers. And give us a call at 503-417-7626, And hopefully we can answer them for free, and free is a good price.
There you go.
I think Tom Peterson said that.
I think he said that. Are you going to get the haircut?
You know, I did before. I did. Did you?
No. Yeah, many years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I bought my very first stereo set and TV set that I purchased myself as a young person was through Tom Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a he was an icon around here for years.
Oh my gosh! And you know, on the Saturday night wrestling, that guy was it. I think he basically financed wrestling in Portland. Because I know his show did all the advertising on it.
Now that's Tom Peterson's, the happy place to shop. It's worth the trip.
Ooh, there you go. Hey, yeah.
We were paying attention, huh?
What I always liked is when you're sitting there watching the match and all of a sudden you'd be pounding on the TV saying, wake up, it's Tom Peterson.
And Glorious, too.
And Glorious, too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Little flashback, a little history there. And,
that's right.
You know, it's kind of cool in Portland because we've got the Portland Trailblazers. And right now the Trailblazers are having a great upsurge. And, in fact, this has probably never been a better time in the Northwest for sports. You've got probably the best four coaches that the Northern schools have ever had. And that is debatable, but I think really, if you look at the numbers, I think right now you probably have four of the best coaches ever in the Northwest
College football.
Yeah, college football. And you got the Blazers having a great season. You had the Timbers have a great season. The Mariners are out signing people like crazy. The Portland Thorns, the female soccer team here in Portland, was champions. You got the Timbers that were almost champions. I think they won their division, but they ended up losing in the playoffs, but almost went to the finals. So you've got a really great, exciting time in the Northwest for sports. And if the Mariners, if these guys they sign, if Cano and some of these new guys they've signed can come through, maybe the Mariners could be somewhat
relevant.
Maybe respectable. Yeah. Maybe win the West Division again. And I was watching an interview of Edgar Martinez, and he was saying that this team with bringing in the guys they're bringing in reminded him a lot of the early 90s before they did their big run. They were kind of putting the pieces together. And he said, you know, he kind of looked at Hernandez like Johnson. And he kind of went through some of the players and the pieces they're putting together and bringing Cano in. And he said that he thought there was some exciting times ahead for the Mariners. And I hope he's right.
Well, hopefully with Robinson Cano, when you got such a hitter like that, you need to get a few guys around him so that they have to pitch to him. So.
Well, you know, the thing that we don't know, the intangible we don't know, and anybody who's played sports of any kind knows that the way your team really goes is by the leaders of the team. Not only the guys that go out there and talk about it, but the guys who go out there and do the walk, and like him. And if he's also a leader in the clubhouse, boy, that could make a big difference to that club. It's kind of like, everybody's talked about Aldridge, but Aldridge has really stepped up his game, and he's also stepped up his leadership on the team. And boy, what a difference. I mean, you can see when they flip the switch, it's a different team today than they were 2 or 3 years ago. The Blazers, I'm jumping back to. But for any of you that have had a chance to watch the Blazers play this year, it's an exciting time. And the reason I thought about that is Bill Shonley, because I always equate the Blazers to Bill Shonley. The two things I think most about Bill Shonley about is the Blazers and Standard.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, I automatically think about those two, and now a retirement community, because he's been doing a lot of ads on those. But I always enjoy when I come back to Portland and I take a trip, and you walk into the airport and you hear the Sean's voice in the airport. I think that's kind of nice. It's kind of nice and soothing if you're an Oregonian.
I was going to say it's certainly a recognizable voice. It is.
Yeah, there's, I think unfortunately we're never going to have another Shans. I mean, he is the best and was the best, and still continues when he does things. I enjoy listening to him when I was fortunate enough to hear him on a presentation, and you know, he's still got it. He's really terrific guy. But anyway, if you got a question, we're going to be back next week, and I haven't confirmed yet because of the holidays, but we're coming up on Christmas, and we would like to wish all of our listeners out there a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah or whatever you celebrate, but certainly a Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2014. As this year comes to an end, I'm going to see if we are going to have a guest speaker next week. I haven't confirmed it yet, but I think they may be taking the week off because of the holidays. And I don't know. I haven't asked you guys yet if you're going to want to be here on the 20th or not. Something we might want to think about because of the holidays. But we wish all of you to be safe during the holidays. I don't think we're through with the bad weather. I think we could still have some more bad weather. Of course, Kevin loves the skiing and the snow and stuff. But, you know, you just got to be safe out there and drive carefully. And that's one thing about Oregon drivers. We don't have a lot of experience in ice and snow, and you just got to drive slow out there. And that one day I saw so many car wrecks that it just, you know, it just cringes you. It makes you feel bad because, you know, somebody is going to cost them a lot of money to get it fixed. And fortunately, if it's just the car, that's one thing. But if it's a person getting hurt, that's a whole other story. So be careful out there. Be safe. Don't drink too much at these holiday parties. And go out there and have a good time, and come back and listen to Investing Simplified for the end of the year. And I think in the next couple of shows, we'll have some great tax ideas and estate planning ideas for you to end up 2013 and start 2014 and make it one of the best years of your lives. Thank you very much, and we'll be back next week.
Financial Group Wealth Management. Price Financial Group Wealth.